Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Out with NAFTA, in with the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. Maybe. It took more than a year of heavy negotiations, but last night the U.S., Mexico, and Canada reached a deal to overhaul NAFTA. That's the 24-year-old agreement that regulates more than $1.2 trillion in trade among these three nations. Here is what President Trump had to say about it this morning.
We have negotiated this new agreement based on the principle of fairness and reciprocity. To me, it's the most important word in trade because we've been treated so unfairly by so many nations all over the world, and we're changing that.
Kristin Jacek is vice president of the Industry, Labor, and Economics Group at the Center for Automotive Research, and she is with us now. Kristin, welcome back.
It's nice to be with you, Cynthia.
This deal still needs to be signed by President Trump, by Canada's Prime Minister Trudeau, and Mexico's President Enrique Peña Nieto, and it has to be okayed by the legislatures in all three countries. With all that said, do you think the auto industry is breathing a sigh of relief here?
Absolutely. This went down to the wire about getting Canada in to the agreement. Canada not being part of the agreement would have been devastating to the supply chains that have built up over time and devastating to the Canadian industries, as well as U.S. and Michigan. Michigan is the number one export source for auto parts to Canada. So we're very integrated with Canada, and it would be very painful. So getting Canada in was a huge win and a huge sigh of relief.
And just kind of to give us a refresher here, Kristin, remind us of the concerns that automakers had going into these negotiations to overhaul NAFTA.
So the administration's goals here were to try to bring more jobs back to the U.S., to look at the modernization of the agreement, and in the auto sector, looking at more modern parts that are in vehicles now. So they did accomplish all of that. They got a much more modern agreement, much more flexible, and it takes into account, you know, internet trade and a lot more addressing intellectual property and some of the issues that were sort of new since we set this agreement in place millions of years ago. The auto industry really wanted to have NAFTA remain a coherent region and to not put up barriers at one or both of the borders. These are three countries that build vehicles together, not that we just trade parts and vehicles, but we're building them up and crossing borders at each step of the production process.
So what has changed for the auto industry under this new USMCA agreement that was signed last night?
What we had before was a rule of origin for vehicles that was 62.5% of a certain list of parts had to originate within the North American region. Now there are three sets of parts, and they go up to 75% on the parts. On the vehicles themselves, the rule of origin moves from 62.5 to 75% over the course of 3 years. And there's incentive to bring powertrain production and advanced battery production and some of the, you know, core parts of the vehicle into the North American region. And due to the labor value content rules that are new in this agreement, to make more of the vehicle at a wage that's above $16 an hour. So that basically means the U.S. and Canada.
And in this agreement, as you touched on here, the workers have to make $16 per hour or more by 2023. 40% of the car's parts would have to be made by workers making that much. And it makes it easier for Mexican workers to organize and unionize. How do you see that impacting wages? And is this a win for labor?
Well, you know, labor is still withholding judgment, as is, you know, most of the industry and industry associations. We're still digging through the details. I don't know that having a $16 an hour labor value content rule puts pressure on Mexico to raise wages, especially not to that level. Many of the people who work in Mexican assembly plants are making less than $4 an hour, so that would be quadrupling their wage. You know, the other piece of this is that Canada and Mexico have both won an exemption for a large proportion of their vehicle and parts output from any additional tariffs the U.S. might impose under something called 232, the national security provisions that put in place steel and aluminum tariffs earlier this year. There is a process moving forward to potentially put new tariffs on imported vehicles and parts. And so Canada and Mexico are largely exempt from those additional tariffs now.
And that was a big concern, wasn't it, here in the Detroit area, with parts going back and forth across the U.S.-Canadian border, and as you say, U.S. and Mexico. Does this help American manufacturers to be able to know that Mexico and Canada can avoid those tariffs?
It's huge. I mean, over, you know, half of our trade basically is with Canada and Mexico, and in vehicles and in parts. The interesting thing is the U.S. has started talking. There's no official process moving forward yet for a new trade agreement with the EU. And then last week we heard that they're going to launch something with Japan. Our top sources of vehicle imports and parts imports to the U.S. include Mexico and Canada and the EU and Japan, South Korea, with which we have a free trade agreement already that has been recently modified, China, which is under tariff for just about everything they send us in the auto sector right now. So I don't know if we did implement 232, who does it apply to? Because most of our major trading partners either have an exemption in the side letters to NAFTA, or they're currently negotiating an agreement and so therefore would be exempt during that negotiation.
President Trump's 25% tariffs on Canadian steel, stay put. How big a deal is that?
It's a big deal. So they kind of kicked the can down the road on steel and aluminum tariffs. So it's 25% on steel, 10% on aluminum. And Canada is our number one source of imported metals in both of those metals. Mexico is a top steel source to the U.S. So those are going to be negotiated while we're working through this process now under the Trade Promotion Authority that will ultimately lead to a new NAFTA or USMCA or whatever it's called. That I think the target date for launching the new agreement would be 1/1/20, so January 1st, 2020, is when we would see a new agreement and all of its provisions be implemented.
What does this all mean, Kristen, for consumers? Am I going to see this in the sticker price of whatever I see on the lot?
Yes. So, you know, sometimes things that are good for automakers are not so good for consumers, or sometimes things that are good for the country is not so good for manufacturers. And there's a little bit of all of that in this agreement. So we do see some incentives to move some production to the U.S. or Canada to these higher wage regions. We see some incentive to move core parts to the North American region. Those two things are going to raise costs to the vehicle, so that might mean that the other parts that are, you know, above the 75% content go to even lower cost places in the world in order to balance some. But I think we'll see higher prices for consumers in the U.S., and, you know, that might mean lower volumes on the margin. We're still working through what it all means, but there's nothing in here that lowers prices for consumers.
Bottom line, Kristen Jicek, what are you going to watch for between now and when this deal is finalized?
Well, I mean, right now we're watching, you know, hitting all these deadlines. So last night was a deadline to release the text that enables Mexico to pass this agreement before the new president takes office on December 1st. So we expect the agreement to be signed at the end of November. I'm watching for mid-March. We'll see a report from the U.S. International Trade Commission that talks about the economic impact of the agreement as it is enshrined in the text that was released yesterday. So we're waiting to see what the economic impact is from the ITC is sort of the quasi-judicial branch of the government that adjudicates trade. So they have a report due. And once their report comes out, there's a set of deadlines that come to the Congress to move the enabling legislation through the Congress. And we're going to have a new Congress that will be considering this. So that's another part of the deal. They're going to need some Democrats to vote for this, and they need labor on board in order to get those Democrats on board to move this through the Congress next year.
Kristen Jicek, VP of the Industry, Labor, and Economics Group at the Center for Automotive Research. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.